From the DMZ to the NATO front, this is CRN.
Hello, and welcome to the Kirshner Files. We're at the Kirshner Files. We're in episode 29 of the Kirshner Files, and I am your host. I can't believe I screwed up the show. Whatever. I'm not even going to edit that out. We are entering week 166 of the illegitimate, fraudulently elected Ding Dong and his tyrannical reign. And we have 229 days until the next presidential election. Gold is currently trading at $2,158.46. And silver is holding strong in the $25 range at $25.12. I got a really eclectic show. We're going to talk about some of the research I did on electroculture gardening. We're going to talk about processing chickens and various tools that you can use to make that task a little bit easier. The reason we're talking about chickens is because we're going to talk about Tyson and the Tyson layoffs and the Texas wildfires. So let's get into it. All right, first things first, let's talk Survival Realty. They've got some eclectic options coming out this week. I was like, really? That's kind of weird. So the first one is a jail. A former jail in Harrisonville, Missouri is up for sale. It's 34 cells and it's 45 minutes from the city. And it's $375,000. It's approximately 11,000 square feet, made of concrete and brick construction. It's got a radio tower, multiple cell blocks, three restrooms, etc., plus the ones that are in the cells. I don't know. Maybe you get a group and go in together on that. I don't know. It looks very much like, what was that show? The Walking Dead, where they just start living in the old prison because it's got walls and the zombies can't get to them. I saw that and I was like, no way. You can buy a jail for $375,000 in Harrisonville, Missouri. The next one is just as odd. It is a bug-out bunker bank home. So a former bank in Liberty, Nebraska is up for sale. It's $90,000. It's a historic bank building with newer electric, two working vaults with combinations. Original teller area, newer furnace, sink, toilet, etc. Has original safe deposit boxes, even some old ledgers and checks. Make it into a one-of-a-kind home, a bar, a wedding venue, a weekend retreat, or a secure getaway. What? This is getting bonkers, man. I told you the show was eclectic, and we're kicking it off with a bang with Survival Realty. And the last one here, they have a buildable half-acre lot in Henryville, Pennsylvania for $9,500, just outside the charming town of Henryville, PA, this buildable half-acre corner lot. I don't know. But, hey, if that's what you can afford and that's what you want, go for it. It says it's surrounded by the tranquil beauty of the Pocono Mountains. The property boasts a picturesque setting with mature trees and gentle slopes. Provides a perfect canvas for architectural creativity. Property has paved road access. So that's your Survival Realty for this week. it's got interesting. Let's start We got the gun shows, so we're going to go to the Rocky Mountains. And, well, this is interesting. Colorado, we're going alphabetical order. Colorado doesn't have a gun show this weekend, but they have one next weekend in Colorado Springs. Idaho doesn't, they've got one. The Filer Gun Show at the Twin Falls County Fairgrounds in Filer, Idaho. Montana, interesting, doesn't have anything until April. Utah, same boat, nothing till April. And Wyoming, nothing till April. Well, that's a bit underwhelming. Well, let's do the Southwest. So that's going to be Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas. Oh, and we're going to talk about Texas too, by the way. Let's see here. Arizona has one, two, three, four this weekend. The Glendale Gun Show at the Martin Event Center in Glendale, Arizona. The Crossroads Prescott Gun Show at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley, Arizona. The Safford Gun Show at the Graham County Fairgrounds in Safford, Arizona. And lastly, we have the Greatest Gun Show in Sin City, Las Vegas. That's not Arizona, but it's at the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's see, New Mexico has won this weekend. The 505 Productions Carlsbad Gun Show at the Walter Gurrell's Event Center in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Oklahoma has three. Antlers Gun Show at the Antlers VFW Post 3658 in Antlers, Oklahoma. The Broken Arrow Gun Show, Stony Creek. It's being held at the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And then we also have the Sherman Gun and Knife Show at the Blue Wagon in Sherman, Texas. So it's just over the border. But there are so many fires in the Texas Panhandle, you might want to double check on some of these that I'm about to rattle off for Texas. I'm not as fluent in my Texas geography, but it doesn't look like a lot of these are near that area. But the one that's just across the border from Oklahoma, you might want to check on that, given the wildfires. Let's see here. We've got a number of them here, like eight or nine of them here in Texas. The first one is the Houston Humble Gun Show at the Humble Civic Center in Humble, Texas. They also have some sort of gun giveaway, three-gun giveaway at that one. They have the Houston Pasadena Gun Show at the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena, Texas. The Real Gonzales Gun Show at the J.B. Wells Park and Arena in Gonzales, Texas. Bastrop Gun and Knife Show at the Bastrop Convention and Exhibit in Bastrop, Texas. The Saxit Corpus Christi Gun Show at the Richard M. Borchard Regional Fairgrounds in Corpus Christi. Then we also have the Leveland Gun and Blade Show at the Mallet Event Center in Leveland, Texas. And then the Sherman Gun and Knife Show at the Blue Wagon in Sherman, Texas. All right, so there's your gun shows. Let's get to some current events. Let's talk about some of this stuff and how we can be doing preparedness about it. All right, so the first thing is that over the last 2 weeks, we have had over 1 million acres in Texas burned in the Texas Panhandle. That's a lot of cattle deaths. That's a lot of fields that have been destroyed that were growing hay for the animals. There's been a large outpouring of support from the Midwest and other states around the country that are literally got long-haul truckers and dualies with flatbeds full of rolls of hay to head down to Texas. So the ranchers are taking care of their own, thanks to the federal government. They say the fires possibly started due to electrical wiring, utility poles. You know, and of course, the do weapons conversation has cropped up that it was retribution for Texas standing up for states' rights against the illegitimate, fraudulently elected Ding Dong's tyrannical reign after he got installed. So it runs the gambit. Take what you want from it, but there is a utility company that's saying that they think that the fire started as a result of their service, I guess. And but there's a lot of dead cattle. There's a lot of scorched earth. We've got over 1 million burned acres. And ranchers around the country are sending what they can down to Texas to help out those ranchers down there. That's just one thing that you can... the reason I bring it up is because you can just expect your beef prices to go up because of this. And then another thing that's going to happen is... we're going to have a rise in likely chicken costs because people are starting to boycott Tyson because of their plans. Now, I found two different articles on this. The first one is simply the agricultural aspects of this announcement from Tyson that they're closing and laying off 1,200 workers at an Iowa pork facility. Only to find out that they're encouraging these workers to apply for other jobs in other cities or other towns. But what this article doesn't talk about that is being talked about in other articles is the fact that Tyson has gone to New York City and held job fairs. And their goal is to hire 50-some-odd thousand illegal immigrants to work in their facilities because they have come out and said, well, we've got people in the country now and they want to work. Well, the problem is you can't hire illegal aliens, people that cross our border illegally. So there's a huge hullabaloo about Tyson closing its plant and holding job fairs and trying to hire 50-some-odd thousand illegal immigrants to go work in their factories. Tyson is about to get the Bud Light treatment if this is actually the case, because this is not good for the country, and it's going to hurt our pocketbook because the price of chicken's going to go up. So we're going to talk about chickens too. And I just find it really interesting. So, you know, if you haven't already taken steps and measures to kind of harden your finances, you might want to think about doing it now, because we got a lot of dead cattle in Texas and we've got a lot of boycotts being called for and resistance against Tyson and their practices. So if you're not getting your meat, and or I should say your protein from local farmers and ranchers, you might want to seriously start considering it. And you can find these places with basic web searches. So let's get into that. All right, so a couple months ago, I told you that we had, me and some friends had gone in together and we bought a cow and I named her Daisy. And we've been eating Daisy for a while, and went to the store the other day before all of this Tyson stuff happened, and was looking at the chicken, and I was not impressed, right? So you can get the chickens with the giant chicken breasts that there's no way a chicken was walking around with a breast that's as big as my head, and I was very disgusted. You know, because you start reading the ingredients, you know, could contain 15% brine or saline or water solution. And, you know, it's just like, but all the packages say hormone free, no this, no that, you know. And I wound up going with a more expensive one because the chicken breasts look like chicken breasts from a normal chicken. And so I don't know. But anyway, that led me to go and do a bunch of research. In the same vein that I had found Buckeye Valley Beef Cooperative, which is where we got Daisy. And so I thought, well, there's got to be someplace like that for poultry and for pork. And I found it. And you can go in and do basic web searches for things like this in your area. You can go to localhens.com, and then you can put in your zip code, and that'll take you to another webpage, which basically is like a clearinghouse for farmers and ranchers in your area. And then you can just select in the filtering criteria what it is that you're looking for, whether it's chicken or pork products. Some of them have beef in there as well. I found one called Nate's Naturals, and it's, you know, 45 minutes from my house, and it's not far from where I would go, and he's got beef and he's got pork, and it might be a comparable, like, one-stop shop for me, as opposed to just going to Buckeye Valley Beef Cooperative to get my beef and going here to get my chicken. I can get all three from the same producer. Anyway, so that's an option for you if you're looking to kind of harden your finances. Go to, you know, farm to table type of resourcing for your protein needs, whether regardless of what type you're looking for, you can find stuff like that. So just do some basic web searches. I also found one that's just a straight up, you know, beef producer. That's Blues Creek Farm. But they also, you know, like I said, you can go into your filtering criteria. And if you say, I'm looking for chicken, pork, and beef, it'll pull up people that have a combination of those three, and it'll pull up somebody that's got all three of them. So I would definitely recommend that you do this, because what Tyson is doing is reprehensible to the American people. And I cannot for the life of me figure out why a company would willingly go out and do this and subvert national law. I just don't understand it. I don't get it at all. All right, we're moving on. All right, so let's talk about J.D. Rockefeller. And I found this interesting, and I found a video, and it actually made me go and do a bunch of do some research about it. And in the video, there's a professor, it looks like a collegiate instructor, and she's basically telling you how Big Pharma was founded. And it was basically J.D. Rockefeller trying to figure out what to do with all of his newfound petrochemicals. And I found articles that were, oh, he's a wonderful philanthropist, and, you know, and then you've got the other side, the historical fact that this guy was a total scumbag and was a robber baron and basically had indentured servants, and, you know, and he's out there, he totally screwed over the education system, because he famously said, I don't want thinkers, I want a nation of workers. So he went out and built the Department of Education. He did similar things to modern medicine, basically creating Big Pharma. And so here's this video. So take a look at this. If this doesn't make you go, you've got to be joking, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, this is crazy stuff.
So in 1872, Rockefeller bought up, shut down, or bankrupt 90% of the oil companies. Our good old Constitution came into place, and in 1911, the Supreme Court found Rockefeller in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act and split Standard Oil into 34 independent companies. So they said, you can't have the monopoly on this, you're done. You think that changed who he was? No. He promised to bankrupt America. At that very same time, they were learning how to turn petrochemicals, exactly what he had at his fingertips with the oil, into pharmaceuticals. Now, John D. Rockefeller's biggest threat was natural health. So what does he do? Being the businessman he is, he donates money to the medical schools because he wants to control. And what do you do when you want to control someone? You give him money. And then he hired a guy by the name of Flexner to study the school's curriculum, to figure out what they were teaching everybody, and to persuade the government to establish allopathic medicine, which used the unnatural substances to treat diseases. This is how Western medicine was founded.
How can you... if that's true and factual, I mean, I see it, you know. I typically don't go to the doctor. I don't get sick. I take vitamins and supplements, and I make sure that those are not a bunch of crazy ingredients and, you know, a bunch of man-made stuff. I take a lot of natural remedies and herbal supplements and things like that. I don't get sick. And if I do, it's the sniffles. You know, I might have a cough for a day or two, but, you know, maybe I got a little tickle in my throat. But that's it. It goes away. I just take a bunch of vitamin C and it goes away. But I see this. I had a friend of mine who is a doctor. He's the chief of internal medicine. And he wrote the introduction to my book, Home Remedies, Poultices, Salves, and Tinctures. He sees it every day when he gets new residents at the hospital who their first thought is, okay, how they're not treating the actual problem. They're treating the symptoms, and they're going to do that with pills. That's how they're coming out. But it's in a more rural area, and these people generally can't afford the medicines that they're being prescribed. So he actually uses my book, and he's like, okay, here's what you need to do. You know, you need to make up this. You know, do you have a wood-burning stove? Of course we have a wood-burning stove. We don't trust the government. Okay, well, mix up some wood ash and this and this and this, and then, you know, put it on this boil or do, you know, whatever it is. He's giving them options instead of just going to the pharmacy to get some sort of pill full of petrochemicals and other things that professor was talking about. I'm so frustrated. And you know, the funny thing is, even on the back of the book, the back cover text of that book, I talk about how the United States of America is the most drugged country on the face of the planet in the history of civilization. And Rockefeller has a large part to play in that. And there are articles, like I said, that are praising him as the philanthropist. But they're talking about how he gave money to these medical schools, how he gave money to stand up the Department of Education and all these things. But he had ulterior motives. And I think a lot of people are starting to figure that out. And this all goes into preparedness and self-sufficiency. Learn how to take care of yourself. Learn how to source your foods from other places that are not poisoning you, because it's not part of the big ag industrial complex food system. Source herbal remedies. Find other ways to address your health concerns that don't require you to get a $350 a month prescription. There's got to be another way for you to address this issue, is what I'm saying. And if the World Economic Forum is right, and we're going to have a cyber attack that takes down our grid, guess what? You better learn how to do it now while you still have the power and the energy and the resources to figure this stuff out. At a minimum, you need to have beginnings of a robust library. Not just my book. There are tons of books out there that can help you with these types of problems. There's books on gardening. There's books on herbal remedies. There's books on tactics. There's books on woodworking. I mean, run the gambit. You go to my website, and when you get there, go into resources, and you can find useful resources books and useful resources websites. There's also all kinds of information in the research downloads portion of that submenu. And if you go to books, I've broken it down into fiction and nonfiction, because sometimes you need a break from reality. So having a little bit of fiction in there is not a bad thing for your library. But there are tons of books in here. Everything from saving seeds to reloading ammunition, mini farming, square foot gardening, hydroponic food production. There are books in here. These are books that I have in my library. These books are coming with me if I gotta bug out. And if I can't take them all with me, I'm taking a lot of them because I can't retain all of this knowledge. I got a lot of it, but the books are there as a refresher. Do yourself a favor. Check out this page, Useful Resources Books, because if they actually have a cyber attack and the grid goes down, Useful Resources website's not going to do you any good unless you go on there and start printing stuff. You need hard copies to take with you because your iPad and your Kindle aren't going to work if we have an EMP. They'll work for as long as you can keep that battery charged. Maybe you've got plans for that. Maybe one of those solar generators that I talked about last week. That'll keep your iPad charged, and then you can continue to use that stuff. But unless you've got it downloaded and stored on that device, you're not getting to it. Because if we have an electrical grid failure, the servers are going down. You're not getting on the internet, period. So you have to have it downloaded if you're going to go that route. Or you have hard copies. And what I would recommend is, and this is something that I am going to be doing as well, is get these books at your destination, or the bulk of these books. So I'm going to be moving books here in the coming days and weeks, because it literally just occurred to me as I was recording this show. I was like, wow, that's a lot of books I'm going to have to move. That's a lot of weight. I need to get these books out of here. So I'm going to take my own advice and I'm going to start moving books and I'm going to get them to my destination. That's something that you're going to have to do. You have to pre-plan. That's my spiel on Rockefeller and how that just simply morphed into pre-planning, libraries, knowledge base. You got to get this stuff done, folks. All right, we're going to talk about chickens. In the previous segment, I was talking about how we needed to get more better relationships with local producers, whether that's poultry, fowl of some kind. You know, maybe you'll prefer ducks and geese to chickens, or pork and beef, goat, lamb. You know, whatever your preferences are. Do those web searches. Find a producer near you. Remove yourself from the big ag food chain, okay? But if you're going to get into, say, homesteading and raising meat birds, I'm going to give you an example of a friend of mine. She and her husband and their four kids, they bought, I want to call it 5 to 7 acres, outside of the city limits, completely different county. It's about 45 minutes away from here. And they have chickens and turkeys. And one of the things that they did after they went and learned the hard way that hand-picking chickens is a giant pain and a colossal time sucker, you know. So what they did is they went out and got a yard bird chicken plucker. And so you can go to yardbirdpluckers.com and you can get a whole series of tools and equipment to make bird processing easier. It doesn't matter if it's chickens. It's coming in a tub with the rubber fingers. Do yourself a favor. Get a 5-gallon bucket to go underneath it to catch all the feathers. Drill holes in it to let the water out, but you want to catch all those feathers that are being plucked off. They've got galvanized and adjustable plastic restraining cones for the actual slaughter of the animal. They've got scalding gloves. They've got a lung remover. They've got long sleeve and or sleeveless butchering aprons. You know, it's just the Yardbird Plucker is an investment, and it's $500. There are others out there, but they highly recommend the Yardbird Plucker. But what I'll tell you to do is go to yardbirdpluckers.com, and they actually have videos showing you how to use their equipment. They actually have a butchering guide that literally steps you through the process of butchering chickens, and it's not just chickens. You can use this on turkeys and ducks and geese as well. Because the butchering process is the same for all of them, more or less. There might be a nuanced difference that I don't know about, but they're pretty much all the same. So they talk you through the scalding process. They talk you through the bloodletting process. They talk you through scalding. Then you're putting them into the plucker, removing the oil gland and the feet, remove the head, the trachea, the esophagus, and crop. Then you're going to cut open the body cavity. You're going to get all the guts out of there. And then if you can't get the lungs out in one little piece, or, you know, because they're going to break apart, you got to get all the lung out. There's a gland you got to get out of there, and, you know, all of this stuff. They talk you through all of it. So at a minimum, go to this Yardbird Plucker's website and just learn about this process. Because if you have the right tools, and you know, you're just, it, the Yardbird Plucker, you can actually run on one of those solar generators. It doesn't require a lot of energy at all. It's just a tiny little motor that's just going to spin this, mechanism around. So it's really simple, and it's really not going to pull that many amps. So you could run this as a direct feed right from your solar power generator. So that's what I want to talk about there. And the last thing I want to talk about is this. It's all over the internet. I don't know if I'm being caught up in a fad or not, but it's called electroculture gardening. And I talked about it last week. Basically, you take like a bamboo stick and put it in the ground. You wrap it with copper wire and then bury the wire through your various beds and planters and things of that nature. And then the terminus is an aluminum rod with like a zinc bolt in it. You just wrap that with the copper as well. And that's the whole premise, that I should say that's the design. But the premise is basically to create like a mini electromagnetic field, pull energy out of the atmosphere and down into the soil. And I did some digging around, and I found a nice little way to kind of define it. The copper conducts low-level electrical currents, which are said to enliven the soil and stimulate plant growth. It is said to reduce the need for fertilizers and toxic pesticides. And if you're growing vegetables or fruits, electroculture practitioners say you'll be amazed at the increased results. Advocates also say their plants are healthier and more resistant to pests and disease. So I found a blog where the lady tried it out, and she found great success with it. And then I found another article. It was in the Washington Post from August of last year, titled "Electroculture Gardening is Trending, but Does it Work?" And of course, they went out and found somebody that's just Mr. Negative Nelly. So I wanted to be fair and give you guys both sides of the equation. And then I found another article about the same thing, electroculture gardening basics and techniques. So it kind of gives you like the history of electroculture gardening. And sure enough, there was a guy out there, Jan Egenhaus, a scientist who discovered photosynthesis, used the electrovegetometer in his garden, and his crops promptly died. The electrovegetometer was created and invented by Pierre Barthénon de Saint-Lazare, and he went crazy. He did all kinds of experiments and invented this electrovegetometer, a device that could infuse electricity into the entire garden plot, somewhat like lightning rather than individually. Barthélon went into a tizzy of experimentation, zapping pests and using electrical water to replace fertilizer. And this guy, Egenhaus, was like, "You killed all my crops!" Well, he didn't try it again, apparently. They didn't go into any explanation as to if that's just where Egenhaus stopped. And then they draw a comparison as to how the medical industry kind of did the same thing with chiropractic medicine, which I love. I love my chiropractor. They straighten me out. They fix all of my various ailments. I love it. I take my supplements and I go to the chiropractor. That's the extent of my doctor's visits, aside from, you know, an annual checkup here or there, dental visit, whatever. But I wanted to give you guys some more information on the electroculture gardening. So I found three articles to kind of play the pros and cons, and I'll have links to all of this stuff, including articles and things that I talked about in the previous segments in my show notes. So I don't even know if people are going to my show notes, but if you didn't know, depending on where you're getting the show from, so if you're getting it on Podbean, there's a link and you can go to the show notes. If you're getting it on Rumble, it removes the links for some reason. The links are always available on my website. So if you go to davidjkirshner.com and you go onto the podcast menu, you can go to the Lightning Round Podcast, the Kirshner Files, and Quick Hits. Those are all, like, I keep about a quarter's worth of shows out there. And then I also have an archive for all of my shows going back to 2021 for the Lightning Round. And then I started an archive for last year when I started the second show, this show, the Kirshner Files. So you can always find the links there. And different places will keep the links. Some won't. Like, I know Rumble won't. I don't know about Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I imagine they're there, but who knows. So do yourself a favor and read up on it. I'm going to try it this year, and we're going to see what happens. If I wind up zapping all my plants, then, all right, well, maybe we did something wrong, you know, and I'll try and troubleshoot it. I'm not just going to throw my hands up in the air and say I quit because it's something new and it didn't work. You know, you can always tinker with something. So I wanted to give you guys that little update on electroculture gardening. So, all right, that's my show. We'll be back on the weekend with another episode of the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round. We'll talk about the week that was, and it's already getting interesting. So, you know, that'll be fun. All right, folks, that's it for me. So be good, stay safe, keep your head on a swivel. I'm out.
Happy Hunger Games. And may the odds be ever in your favor.